This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
How is your boy?
He's fine now. He's having a rough time.
He was doing the screaming earlier.
He was doing screaming. Yep. You and I did some gossiping. We were talking about modern media.
Yep. Talking about old times at New York Review of Books. .com/InfoWars.
Lack of place in it.
Yeah.
And the boy was screaming the entire time.
Mm. Yeah. And he was doing a big scream, wasn't he?
I think his thing now, and this is boring, but I think his thing now is he needs to be dropped down to one nap a day.
You might be there.
I think we're on the cusp. He sleeps in late like a teenager every fucking day.
Yeah.
And then is pissy during his second nap. And I feel like the thing is just to give him one long nap in the middle
one
of the
nap afternoon. Is hot. If you can get it to work, one nap is hot. You wake him up like a teenager.
I wake
him
up every day.
And then nap him. If you're lucky, you could nap him from like 1 to 4.
That's a long nap.
And then you can just like play Call of Duty or whatever.
Jesus,
whatever it is.
I don't
you
even
do.
Know what I would do.
Trying to put
time.
Myself in what you would do.
Right.
Is that
like,
it?
No,
look at,
Call
look
of Duty,
at memes.
My PS4 is pretty old.
Okay.
So let's get into this. My PS4 is pretty old. Okay. It's I got it on launch day. It's got a pretty small hard drive, and Call of Duty, the updates are getting so big now.
Okay.
And
okay, that's
it's
fine.
Just like, I don't even think I have the hard drive space for it anymore.
It was just
so
an example. It was an example, and I regret it. Yeah. Can I tell you my boy?
Tell me about your boy.
Okay. I got two worries about the child that I'd like to ask your professional dad advice. I said, dad advice. I just made up. Dad advice.
It's not good.
Are you sure?
It's fine.
Think about it for a second.
It's fine.
I'd like to ask for your dad advice.
Okay.
Okay. Here's one. I call it the car from Cars paradox.
Okay.
And it worries me and it bakes my noodle, to use a phrase from The Matrix.
We use it a lot. It's a common...
Yeah. Cyril, my child, often asks to watch the film Car from Cars.
Okay.
And when I ask him, why do you call that film Car from Cars? He looks at me like I'm an idiot, and he says, because it's about the car from Cars.
It's true.
And I think it's logically consistent, but I have trouble processing it. I don't know how to talk to him about it.
It's as though he has some kind of like aphasia or something where it's like he can't recognize titles or like they're too abstract for him.
Yeah, but he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. So, but it's like let's read the book Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Right. I think that's a little old for him.
Oh, are you sure? It's a pretty short book.
There are some pretty gruesome
it's
deaths.
It's very brief. You can get through it in like an evening.
Okay, I'll ask him.
I'm just trying to think of other kind of short books.
For kids.
For kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's as though he would say like, let's read.
It's as if he were to say, let's read Old Man in the Sea from Old Man in the Sea.
Did any of Walt Whitman's poems in Leaves of Grass have any characters?
Any
Not
dudes
really,
in them?
Right?
I think there are some dudes in them, but it's more leaves and grass for the most part.
Let's read about the leaves and the grass.
Yeah.
In Leaves of Grass. Okay. So, I mean, it's a small book, you know?
Well, you haven't solved my problem in any way.
No. I'm helping you get into the mind of this madman.
Okay. Well, help me dive further into the mind of this child, because here's another thing that he's taken to doing lately. And then we will talk about this book and we will introduce the show. Don't think that we won't. We
sure,
do.
Sure, sure.
We always do. We always get around to it. We often do talk about the books.
One sec.
Okay.
Alexa, turn on the bedroom. You see that tasteful lighting?
Yeah. It's an audio medium, so.
I know. Well, she's an audio being.
Okay. The lights went on. Here's my second worry about the child, and then we really must talk about this novel.
Yeah.
And introduce the show. We got to say who we are. People need to know. The other thing that Cyril does lately is that sometimes, usually in the same place in the hallway of my house, he will point past me down the hallway, and he will say, "Who's that guy?"
Okay. That's very troubling.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing about babies, and your boy is on the cusp.
They're again. Closer to the beyond than we are.
They just came from there.
Yeah, they just came from out of there. Yeah.
So they have a connection to the beyond that we don't have.
Yeah.
I think dogs have it too.
Yeah. Cats definitely have it.
And, well, do your cats ever react to a guy?
They'll look at a guy, yeah. They'll just like suddenly like get frightened and their eyes will go wide and they'll look at a guy for a while.
In a lot of ways, I think this is a bigger problem in New England where there's more history.
And more ghosts, right?
And more ghosts.
Yeah.
But in Texas, it was the Wild West for a long time, right? And
yeah.
People probably shot a lot, one another a lot.
Oh, so you think that I should just say, oh, it's a dead cowboy.
It's a dead cowboy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now that solves my problem.
Right. Have you ever asked Cyril to describe the guy?
I will say, what guy? I'll say, what guy do you mean? And then he'll just look at me like I'm crazy, and he'll say, who's that guy?
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you ever say, oh, it's a dead cowboy?
Well, I haven't tried that. I'm going to try that.
Does he know what cowboys are? I think if you can give him the vocabulary to describe the guy.
I'll show him a bunch of pictures of dead cowboys. Here's what I'll do. I'll show him a bunch of pictures of dead cowboys. We'll talk about it. These are cowboys. They used to be alive. Now they're not. And then see if next time he says, why is there a dead cowboy in our house? Instead of, who's that guy?
I also don't want to always bring it back to this, but no. I suggest that you and Cyril sit down and watch the film 13 Ghosts, because that will at least give you a cross-section of
different ghosts to choose from. Yeah.
13 ghosts.
And then he'll be like, who's that old-timey prospector? He can get really specific.
Yes.
That's great. Okay. And this has been Dead Talk.
Dead Talk, yes.
Hi, and welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
And I'm letting you do the second one by yourself now.
Why? I don't like that.
I like it.
Say it with me.
We tried it out and it was cool. It's like
a
DJ.
Like it.
Okay, fine. Hi.
In fact, you say hi. Let's both say it several times, and I want you to go into the
audio
not
going in
post.
I'm not doing anything in
yes,
post.
Yes, you are.
I won't.
You're going in post, and you're layering it on top of one another.
Fine. Hi. You could say hi.
Hi.
And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
And then you just heard all the clubs.
A podcast in which I am Jack Shepherd.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And what we do is we like to talk about the classic novels in the Great Sitter's Cycle by The Hand That Shakes, The Princess of the Prince of Town, St. Annabelle, Matthews, Martin, Stormborn, Soulskinner, Mother of Clocks, and Bane to Bats. She is the first of her name, the last of her kind, and of course, the last hope for humankind. And this week we are going to be talking about a novel that she wrote, which is called Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 4, Claudia and the Friendship Feud.
Claudia's feuding with a friend, and that feels familiar to me.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why don't they just call it Claudia and the Feud?
Well, because then it could be like a family feud. It could be like a workplace feud. It could be like a teacher feud.
But normally you don't drill down in that way. It's just a feud. Like, a friendship feud is not a kind of thing.
I don't know what I'm getting into then, though.
Well, then it would be friend feud, right?
Friend feud.
They don't call it the family relationships feud.
Family feud, right.
It's family feud. Friendship, it describes the state of being that you were in with a friend.
I was going to say maybe what Anne and, what's her fucking name?
Laura Dower. We're going to talk about it.
We're going for was like alliteration, but friend feud still even works with that. So
yeah,
I don't know. Friend feud.
Well, we'll figure it out, and we'll figure it out by diving more into the situation with Laura. But before we do that, because I think that's going to be a big topic.
Laura.
And I think Laura's very online, so I think she's probably listening.
Is she? You looked her up already.
I look. Well, I just did a. I just did a little. I just wanted a taste. I wanted a sip. But
I like to save that.
No,
for
no.
The show.
I'm with you, and I had.
But
that
it sounds
thought.
Like we're diving in now. I'm Googling her, Laura Dauer.
Okay, so this novel was written by someone called Laura Dauer, wasn't it? Wasn't mm-hmm. it? And
okay.
What is happening? What? It's a little late in the game to suddenly bring Laura Dauer.
Imagine being Laura Dauer and like you get this opportunity and you're like, we want to bring you in to write for the Babysitter's Club. And you're like, great.
Yeah.
What's the assignment? And they're like, oh, it's the Friends Forever series. It's the death of the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, I want you to kill these babysitters.
And you get to oversee the fucking eulogy of the Babysitter's Club, this beloved franchise.
She's like the cleaner from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Is that? I don't know if that's what he's called. Harvey Keitel.
The wolf?
The wolf, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I accidentally killed all these babysitters and destroyed their club.
Yep.
And the Leviathan is like, I know somebody. Scholastic. Like all the liars are like, what are we going to do? Oh, God, what are we going to do? We're going to be in so much trouble. And David, the Leviathan Levitan, is like, I know somebody. Call the cleaner. Let's call Laura.
Call the wolf.
Call the wolf.
Laura Dauer.
Let's call Laura Dauer. Okay, I did the teensiest little bit of research on Laura Dauer, and I want to present it to you. If you go to her website and you click on other projects, which is what this is, can you do that for okay. me?
Yeah, I'm on her website, lauradauer.com.
Yeah, and other projects is what she categorizes the Friends Forever thing. She's a very prolific author.
Okay.
She's got a portrait of herself here.
Okay, yes.
And
at the top of the other projects, you mean?
Yeah. Would you like to describe the portrait that she's drawn of herself here?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a spectral being, mm-hmm. a classic ghost, white sheet.
Yeah.
Two
big sunken eye sockets. Yep.
And it has two spindly little arms coming out of its white sheet, and it yep. is penning, I assume, Babysitter's Club.
A Babysitter's Club book. And that is spectrally held in the air with no table or anything like that.
Yeah, it's ghost. It's a ghost book.
It's a ghost. It's a ghost. And then click on her Twitter from that page, from the ghost page.
Okay.
It says, follow me on Twitter. Click on it.
Okay. And I'm going to follow her on Twitter. It says, leave a comment. Do I want to leave a comment or no?
No, don't leave a comment. There's a little purple bird just at the top of the other projects page next to where her name is.
Yes. And Laura. Okay.
And you click on that. And what does it show you?
This account doesn't exist.
It's the account of a ghost, isn't it?
And it is the account of a ghost.
And then this is the last little piece of research that I did very briefly when I looked at her page.
So spooky.
Tanner, I looked up Dauer in the dictionary.
Okay.
And here's what Dauer means. It is the part of or interest in the real estate of a deceased spouse given by law to the surviving spouse during the surviving spouse's life.
Okay.
Or another word for that, a nice way of saying that is a ghost. A ghost wife or a husband.
I think any way you parse this.
Yeah.
Laura Dauer is a ghost.
Is a ghost.
Self-confessed and self-professed ghost.
Yeah. So Anne had a ghost do this one.
Anne had a ghost do this one. And I'm trying to think back on the books to think if there's anything that had like a smack of ghost on it. I'm not sure.
On this novel, which we have yet to talk about.
On this novel, yeah. We can hire her.
Oh, we can?
It's on her other projects page, available to hire on readz.com to be a ghostwriter. So what I'm thinking is maybe we probably want to hire her to write a book for us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we can have her do our Ship of the Week.
Ship of the Week, right. Do you think she'd be willing to do that?
Yeah, it says we can. Does she say you can only hire me under certain stringent circumstances, or does she say like
I will have to pay her rate either way
in exchange for money? I will write your thing.
I think we're gonna have to pay her a full rate, and like that is the kind of rate that like would get you a full kids book, and we're gonna blow that on Ship of the Week or
I mean, I'm open to whatever.
Okay, it says here short form. Okay, services I am available to offer.
Yeah.
Ghostwriting, mm-hmm. proposals.
Well, that's ironic.
Yeah. Short form content.
Yeah.
Developmental editing, market okay. research, and brainstorming outlines. So maybe we just contact her for a brainstorm.
Yeah.
Let's just like get that. Three beautiful brains in a room.
Yeah.
And have them bang out some fucking brain babies.
Okay. That sounds good. And we'll do that.
I don't know what we're going to brainstorm on. It could be anything. Let's just say that to her.
Yeah.
Super high level.
Super high level. Just a lot of like...
No constraints. We are brainstorming about literally everything and anything.
Blue sky thinking.
And we'll probably have to pay her like
$20, $30. Okay. Yes. And a lot of money.
So Baby Nation, if you can help us get that together.
We'll start a GoFundMe.
Yes.
Great. Just
blue sky solutioneering with Laura Dower.
An actual ghost.
A known ghost.
Yeah.
Self-confessed ghost.
Yeah. Normally they'd try to hide it. Like this fucking dead cowboy I've got at my house.
Right.
Should we talk about the book, do you think?
This book seems like it. What are we, 20 minutes in?
Yeah. This book bummed me out. Can I say that? That's about the book. Bummed me out.
It didn't bum me out. It made me feel liberated.
Like a great weight has been lifted off your shoulders?
Yeah, exactly. A great weight has been lifted off my shoulders and a... effervescent and almost like refreshing mint flavored wind is
blowing in your face,
pushing me up
your kilt
and buoying me
like Marilyn Monroe. You walked over like a vet and you're like, oops, because a minty wind pushed you, and you're wearing
and that
a
minty
a
wind
kilt.
Is named Erica Bloomberg.
Erica Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Laura Dower, who I, for a ghost, did a fucking great job with this book. I liked it a lot. There's jokes, there's intrigue, and it surprised the shit out of me because I assumed, I was like, the next book is called Christy Power. And so I was like, okay, Claudia the Friendship Feud, we're going to get past this fucking friendship feud. I think you could just call it a feud, whatever.
And we do.
That she's having with Stacy, and then we can have the BSC back together and we can have like a funny moment where they like solve a mystery next week, or Christy fucking like,
we're beyond that,
has
Jack.
A difficult client.
That's baby shit. This is friends forever, Jack.
But what Laura Dower did was she's like, I'm gonna murder whatever spark was left in their love.
She
for
even
each other.
She even like taunts us with it.
Yeah.
Like Claudia has a number of conversations with Peaches where Peaches is just like, yeah, if you've got a good friend, that means more than anything, and you just kind of need to make up with her. And no boy or no conflict should come between you.
Claudia's aunt, like, it's very heavy-handed. Back when I thought that there was going to be reconciliation between Claudia and Stacy, Claudia and her aunt have this conversation where Claudia's aunt, Peaches, is having, like, a college friend visit, and she's nervous about it. And she's like, this is my best fucking friend in the world, and let me tell you a story about her. She stole my boyfriend in college. We got mad, but our friendship lasted, and she's like very important in my life now. And I was like, okay, cool. And then Claudia and Stacy go scorched earth and fucking destroy
each other.
Because
Stacy's a fucking...
She's awful.
Nightmare shit show, and it's that fucking Rachel character.
It's that Rachel.
Influencing.
I call her Snake Chill.
Worm-tonguing her.
And you know who else I don't like is the fucking Fame Wolf. I don't like Jeremy either anymore. He's a little slime ball in this.
Jeremy's up to some kind of shenanigans.
He's the new snake in the grass. The Fame Wolf is more dangerous than the snake in the grass ever had been.
But we have this effervescent, minty wind.
Yeah. And it's Erica Blumberg. She's great. She's lovely.
Erica Blumberg. She's so nice. She's so nice. She's so cool.
I am going to describe this book, but let me read you a fucking passage real fast. Real fast on this topic.
Okay.
Christy waved her arm in the air. I've got it. What about Logan? He can babysit. Marianne dropped her head into her hands. Christy, I can't believe you even said that. Oops. Sorry. Marianne and Logan broke up, guys. Get with the fucking program. Stacy perked up all of a sudden. Hey, what about Erica Blumberg? She might be free tomorrow. Said Christy. Tanner, Erica Blumberg, do you agree? Has joined the hallowed ranks of the babysitters.
I think so.
Like Wendy Loesser before her, she is an... Next time we do a Babysitter's... Like, which Babysitter's Club member are you quiz, we can put Erica Blumberg in it as a response.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And it'll really piss people off.
Yeah, you got Erica Blumberg, and they'll be like, what? And it's like, no, don't worry. She's an effervescent
She's a
wing.
Fucking babysitter. She babysat the Pikes, like, five times.
I also think one of her many accolades is that she went to a dance with Pete Black.
So it shows good taste. I think. It shows great taste.
I just like her. She's so great. She's opinionated. She's got like a fucking like stance.
Yeah.
She's cool. She's great at babysitting. She put the fucking Pike triplets in their fucking place.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I love Erica Blumberg.
I love Erica Blumberg.
Why not? And I'm ready to fucking jettison from
the paradigm that involves Stacey.
Stacey McGill paradigm altogether.
So, Stacey,
this is what I've always wanted.
Yeah. It makes me sad. Can I describe this novel?
Yeah.
I'd like to describe the novel, then we'll put 60 seconds on a big bad clock that I happen to have handy, and we'll have you describe the novel. And you mute yourself.
I do that now, right?
Yeah. Yes. So tell me when you've muted yourself, and I'll begin describing this novel.
I have muted myself. Yes.
The year... is 1999, and the world is divided into warring factions, each vying for what small riches remain amidst the rubble of the social order that has been destroyed. It is a world of jealousy and divided loyalties, of fear, of power, and of revenge. And yet, even in the scorched landscape of our unrecognizable earth, there are hidden places where flowers bloom, where love can blossom. Apart from the hate and the anger and the endless war that rages in the background. And so it is that Claudia Kishi, scarred and embittered by betrayal and focused only on vengeance, finds something she never expected in the last place she would ever think to look. A friend. And now she will do whatever it takes to keep her. Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 4, Claudia and the Friendship Feud.
Beautiful.
Thank you. The friend is Erica Blumberg.
The effervescent wind, yeah.
Yeah. It's just blowing up your skirt and being a friend to Claudia when she needs her most.
Jack, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I should do my recap.
Yeah, let's have that.
I don't know. Is it necessary?
We need it.
Okay. Because yours was really good.
Thank you. That means a lot to me, and you rarely say that. Yeah, people need to know what happened in this novel. I'm going to put 60 seconds on this big bad clock that I happen to have handy, and I'll have you describe this novel during those.
You don't want to do anything more interesting? What are some other bits we've done?
This is my favorite version of it.
Because it's the easiest?
Or just put a timer on, and you say the thing in the timer.
Because it's the easiest?
Yeah.
Do we want to challenge our perceptions? Free our minds, and the rest will follow? Jack? Let's see. We had 60-second burger run. We
did that last week.
Mysterious clock.
We had the mysterious clock, and now I think it's this.
What was the super specials?
Oh, you could sing a lullaby. I don't want that. I want you to describe the book.
Yes, do a lullaby.
No, you have to
wait,
do it.
Would I have to do it?
Yeah. I want you to describe this novel in 60 seconds. Give the people what they want, which is to know what the fuck happened in this. A lot of people haven't read it.
Right. Okay. Or we could do a movie recap.
No,
remember
that's
when we did that for the super specials?
Yeah, but that was for my part. And now we're admitting it, are we? That we took, okay, now let's just say it. A lot of the, for the mysteries, we actually took a lot of our descriptions from movies that existed.
Okay.
And now
and
it's
we're happy. We're
true confessions. It happened to me.
Well, I didn't. I'm sorry, you did that?
Oh, no, I didn't. I thought you did.
No, mine were all original.
No, it didn't happen to us. I'm going to put 60 seconds on this big bad clock. During those 60 seconds, you're going to describe this novel. I'm going to begin right now.
Okay, so Claudia is still feuding with her friend. It's a friendship feud. And it's over a boy named Jeremy, but it's almost Thanksgiving, and she's doing a lot of planning for a Thanksgiving Day feast with her Aunt Peaches, and she's learning a lot about her Aunt Peaches and her friend, whose name is...
Molly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter.
Molly?
Yes.
And they used to get in fights about boys too, but they always made up, so Claudia thinks there's a light at the end of the tunnel with her and Stacy. She and Jeremy keep running into one another in this weird way that it makes feel like fate is trying to push them together, and they're kind of flirty in a weird way, and it's like, maybe that's a thing, and maybe he's over Claudia. Claudia starts a new relationship with Erica Blumberg, who is cool, and we like her. She's the effervescent wind, and sorry, I've got burps, and you have to give me a few seconds for the burps. You have to. And for this appeal. And for the appeal.
What happened there?
And so she makes friends with Erica Blumberg, and she keeps mistaking Erica for Stacy, and Erica gets fed up, and eventually she realizes that she doesn't need Stacy, and what she needs is more good friends like Erica.
And time.
And Stacy and Claudia are done.
And time. And yeah, that's awkward. She says Stacy's name in like the throes of passion. They're like shopping at Dillard's or whatever.
Yeah. She's like, these fucking garnet earrings will look great on you, Stace. And Erica's like, what? She's like, oh, never mind.
That's like when you call me Josh. Or I know. Jim.
Or I often, well, it's all your dickhead's fault for
you often call me Jim.
Fucking...
That's pretty common.
It's all of your faults. I refuse to be blamed for this. Because my three closest friends in the world, my childhood best friend, Jim, my modern best friend and co-host, Jack, and my other best friend and co-host, Josh, all have one syllable names that start with J.
And that's our fault, and that's victim blaming.
And my wife is Jamie. So it all feels like it's beyond my control.
We did the plot. We said the plot. We said what happened. It's a difficult book. Christy's, you know who's not fucking helpful? Christy.
Christy's never helpful. And that's her thing. And we knew that the fucking book one, chapter one, is Christy speaks her mind. It got her in trouble in fucking Christy's Great Idea, and it's getting her in trouble in the Friends Forever series.
She is like,
everything changes except Christy.
Except Christy. Stacey and Claudia are like, I do think that Christy is like represents Stony Brook. I think that, can I say something to you?
I think she represents the id.
Okay, that's fine. You can say that to me after I've said this thing to you, because that's interesting too. Here's what I think. All of the other girls, no, you can't Google stuff while I'm saying my thing. You have to listen to my thing
I'm trying to make sure I know what id means.
It's like the thing that's underneath the superego.
Okay. It's like a definition in a dictionary that's like you have to look up four other words that you can understand.
Don't blame me, blame Freud. Listen to me. Listen.
Yes.
Here's a theory of this novel. Of these novels, of this entire series. All of the babysitters, like the thing that is driving.
I was right, by the way.
I can't believe we're still talking about your thing.
I just looked it up. I was right. Well, we were right.
Okay. Can I say my
Christy,
thing?
Christy, you were right, and Christy does represent the id.
Yes. Can I say my complicated thing?
Yeah,
thought of? All of the girls, the main characters in these books, the thing that drives them is they are being pulled like magnets away from Stony Brook. Mallory wants to go to Massachusetts. Jesse wants to go
we
to...
We got a little
taste of Mallory.
Taste of Mallory.
It was
this
so
week.
Nice.
It was really nice.
What's her name? Laura?
Yeah, Laura.
Laura gave us a little vignette of Mallory and Jesse like catching up in the background of a Babysitter's Club meeting. It was fucking wonderful. Listen to me. Mallory wants to go to the Massachusetts. Jesse is being pulled towards dance school in New York. Stacy is constantly being pulled to New York. Dawn is being pulled away.
Dawn's a non-entity. She's gone.
Right.
She, like, lost her polarity.
But Christy is Stony Brook. She represents stasis. She represents solidity. She represents... She is the rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And that rock is Christy, or St. Peter, in the case of the Bible. In the case of the thing that I'm saying, it's Christy.
Yeah.
Christy is Stony
Christy
Brook.
Is the St. Peter of these books.
And so she's... Exactly.
St. Peter got his head cut off?
Well, he betrayed Jesus, and actually the traitor in these books is Stacy, isn't she?
Well, now you've got me worried, because we do know that these books are heavy with biblical allegory.
Yeah.
And now you've got me worried that Christy is the great deceiver.
Right. Well, that's possible.
And betrayer.
Well, that maybe that's what Laura has in store for us, because...
Well, is she going to get her head cut off? Who gets their head cut off?
A lot of folks. John the Baptist, most famously. I think
there's
Peter,
a lot of art. There's a lot of classical art around.
Yeah.
John the Baptist, yes, getting his head cut off.
But and Salome is presenting it on a plate to Herod. But Peter is crucified upside down, if memory serves.
That sounds brutal.
Well, that's that. We still got like 10 books. So that was interesting. I just thought that. Don't you think that's true? Christy's the rock. And so she stays the same. And the way that she stays the same is by being like weirdly callous. And like the passage
back to
I
my
read.
Thing.
Yeah. She just says she's what's on her fucking mind. Back to the passage I read, she was like, why do we have Logan babysit alongside you for the Pikes? And Marianne's like, I broke up with him last week, Christy. Jesus Christ. And then
she's
She does this other thing where like the Pikes are trying to like parent trap Stacy and Claudia because Vanessa figures out that they're fighting.
Comes up with this. God, it was so nice to just be in that space again, talking and thinking about Vanessa Pike.
Yeah, I agree.
I so miss thinking about the Pike children.
It was nice. Yeah,
and it was just you know what it was?
What?
Good, clean. Baby, sitting, fun. Erica Bloomberg and Claudia Kishi have a lot of GCBSF this week with
the
Pike kids.
There's some real babysitting that happens. Though the babysitting is still kind of like the Pikes are, the way that the Pikes are weird is that they're like trying to help Claudia reunite with her friend, but there's nothing left there. The spark has gone out. There's nothing left.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's over, but there's a new effervescent wind. And they like, the Pikes like Erica.
I like Erica, and she's an official babysitter.
Yeah. Jack.
Yeah.
I know that you're not a fan.
Okay.
But I do want to read a poem.
Okay.
I know you're not a fan of the poems, A, and I know you're not a fan of the character, B, but can I say very quickly?
Please.
They walk in beauty, night and noon. These handsome men who do their worst, singing their beguiling tune, I find myself immersed in thirst. Or as the youth say, hashtag swoon. With hashtag vapors, I've been cursed.
And I just want to read this passage.
It's our hit segment from the mysteries, where we talk about a something that made us hashtag swoon.
A boy who made us horny.
Yeah.
It's Jeremy Rudolph.
Yeah, and he's the Fame Wolf, and he's nothing if not handsome. He's also evil.
He's evil, and he's handsome, and he's beguiling, and he's playing games with Claudia this week, but the games got me... going.
Yeah, okay.
What were you worried? I was going to say got me hard.
I thought you were going to say horny.
Yeah.
But going.
They got
is
me
fine.
Going.
Yeah.
And let me read this passage.
Okay.
I pushed open the bathroom door and wham! slammed into somebody walking by. Jeremy. "Hey, Claudia," he said, rubbing his arms.
Can you do it sexier? Oh,
yeah. "Hey, Claudia."
Okay.
He said, rubbing his arms. "Oh, no. I can't believe that just happened." What I really couldn't believe was that I was standing in the hall at school talking to Jeremy Rudolph. After more than a month, and Stacy was nowhere to be seen. The first thing I thought was, "I'm so embarrassed." The second thing I thought was, "Get me out of here." The third thing I thought was, "He is so cute." "Stop thinking, Claudia. It's dangerous." Jeremy was wearing a long-sleeved rugby shirt and faded jeans. He was perfect. His shaggy brown hair was adorable. Brown eyes staring into my eyes. "Gee, hi," my voice trembled. "Oh, that was brilliant, Claudia." "Are you going to your locker?" Jeremy asked. "I'll walk with you." Oh, shaggy brown hair, brown eyes,
rugby
staring
shirt.
Into my eyes.
Faded
rugby
jeans.
Shirt. Jesus.
Yeah. No, he is a very handsome and sexy man. There's no question about that. I mean, he destroyed what we thought was a pretty lasting friendship just with those brown eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that rugby shirt.
He does this thing in this book that I find deeply troubling, especially given the power that he holds in those brown eyes and that long-sleeve rugby shirt. I don't know what that is, but I guess it's a shirt you would wear to play rugby.
I've never played rugby.
I have never played rugby either. You have to form a scrum, I think.
Okay. And that, like, hurts your ears, I'm led to believe.
Yeah, you can get cauliflower ear pretty bad.
Okay.
Because you're, like, rubbing your ears against the other men's ears.
Why? Is that in the rules?
It's not in the rules. It's just what happens if you form... Have you never formed a scrum?
I don't think so. Maybe incidentally, but, like...
You
never intentionally.
Because a thing that starts to happen... Have you ever been in a situation where you're suddenly rubbing your ears against another man's ears?
Not intentionally, again.
But okay.
Not willingly or intentionally, no.
You're bending down.
Okay.
You bend down.
Okay.
And you put your ear against another man's ears. Has that ever happened?
Not that I'm aware of, and not intentionally. It may have happened. I can't be certain.
Sound like a politician.
Yeah.
But that's what a scrum is. And that gives
us some...
And that's
in the rules?
The ear part isn't in the rules. The scrum part is in the rules.
Okay.
But the ear, if you do a scrum, that has to happen. And then you get cauliflower ear.
Why?
Because that's what a scrum is. That's what it is. It's a ear.
100% of the thing about a scrum is that you touch your ears against another man's ears.
No, there's more to it. I said you're bending over.
Okay, so 100% of the thing that a scrum is you bend over and touch your ears against another man's ears.
Yeah, the way I mean, this is semantics, but I would say 50% of a scrum is bending over, 50% is touching your ears against another man's ears.
Well, I don't want to. I'm not a mathematician.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't do that breakdown on the fly.
Yeah.
And I think you're being irresponsible trying to assign it 50-50 because it doesn't sound like... If you're doing so much ear rubbing that you're getting cauliflower ears...
Yeah.
It sounds like maybe it's more like 60-40 or 70-30.
Okay, fine.
In favor of the ear thing.
So a better way of saying it is that 100% is both of the things. That I feel like that gives us less data, but we...
Okay, well, if there's any fucking rugby scientists out there in Baby Nation can tell us how much of a scrum
is rubbing your
ears. Is bending down and how much is rubbing ears.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Because I'm intensely curious.
Yeah. But that gives us some insight into what Jeremy's wearing, is the point.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I'm being a deceiver.
Okay.
Because when I was in the seventh grade, I wrote a report and did a diorama about the rules of rugby.
Wow. You're being the great deceiver. You know more about rugby than anyone I've ever met.
And I got very into rugby for a little while and decided that I was a New Zealand All Blacks fan.
not a spring box.
Did a diorama featuring Imperial stormtroopers that I painted all black.
Wow. Rubbing their ears
on a
together.
Rugby pitch.
Okay.
And learned all about rugby. So I do
know
what
everything.
A scrum is.
And you know exactly what a scrum is. And you know what Jeremy's wearing. It sounds like it's a stormtrooper like top.
Yeah, but it's been like haphazardly painted black by a young boy.
Yeah. And he's got cauliflower ear. And it's so sexy. And he does this thing where he like calls Claudia up. He sucks. Fuck this dude. I'm sorry.
He's handsome. Okay. So let's separate the art from the artist.
Yeah.
He's very handsome.
He's so good looking.
So sexy.
And I liked him in the first when he was first introduced. I thought he was cool. But then he's like, Claudia and he have known each other for fucking 1 month. And he's like, he's calling her up and he's like laying on the smarm like, oh, like I hope I haven't been the cause of you and Stacy being like mad at each other because I like value you so much as a friend. Right. And like Claudia's like swooning over it. And it's
he's
dude,
stringing her along.
You're not friends with her, first of all. You've only known her for a month. You don't value her as a friend. And also, you know that you fucking did it. You did it.
Yeah,
like, you
did
broke
it. They
up
were lifelong friends.
And it's over now.
But you know what?
What?
So, Exhibit A.
Yeah.
Fuck Jeremy.
Yeah.
He's a player, and he's stringing Claudia along.
He's a fame wolf.
And he's the fame wolf.
Yeah.
Exhibit B. Got Stacy out of her hair.
Yeah, I guess so.
Stacy's ding dong, the witch is dead, and the wicked witch was Stacy, and it was the fame wolf that what took her down.
I think we're gonna regret it because I think
I don't get this
Let me
posture
be clear.
Of yours.
Because
you
clear.
Seemed you said earlier that this book made you sad, and I just said ding dong, the witch is dead about Stacy, and this was your reaction. I'm sour about it.
That's not what my reaction was.
And I'm struggling to understand your position because I thought we were both.
Here's my position. Is
anti Stacy McGill.
I'm taking the 30,000 foot view, unlike you. I'm not just living for the fucking moment. Here's my position.
I'm not. Jack, I challenge you to go back and listen to every single fucking episode of this podcast and tell me if this is a fleeting
no.
thought of the week for me.
No, I know how you feel about Stacy. What I'm saying is this. I have other things that I care about. I maybe have come around to your view on Stacy, though not perhaps with the same virulence and intensity that you have. But like, if Laura had taken the opportunity to write a book where she's like, the fame wolf came into town and mauled Stacy and she is now in her grave and we visit her every week.
Okay. I like that too.
And Erica Blumberg is the new Stacy and she comes to the meetings too and like, oh, I wonder, oh, she's interested in fashion too. Whatever. I don't know. She's into books. Whatever. I don't give a shit. And the Babysitter's Club continues. I would love that novel.
You're clinging on to these old ways. You sound like a boomer right now. Because you're clinging on to these old ways of being, Jack. The Babysitter's Club is dead. Everything changes.
And
right?
It's Keen who says that. And you stole
it. And
that
it's Keen. Keen.
Yeah.
And you need to take a fucking lesson from Keen. Because everything changes and you need to let go of the Babysitter's Club. It's gone, Jack.
Okay, fine. And then what do we have left? What do we have? Erica Blumberg?
The effervescent wind! I don't understand your fucking posture tonight. I feel like you and I are fighting now. Because you're clinging to this old way of being, but Stacy, ding dong, the witch is dead. Stacy is gone, and we have the effervescent wind to replace her, Jack.
Okay.
How are you not thrilled?
Great. They'll all still be friends, right?
No, Stacy's gone. She's friends with some prick called Rachel.
Okay, fine. I think we should take a break and cool off.
I think we should take a break and cool off, too. Yes. Good idea.
Okay. Goodbye. You say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey, everybody. It's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively.
Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign. And a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't know about you, man, but like my fucking cables that I ordered on Saturday when we determined we needed more cables are taking their sweet time getting here.
Yeah, so are mine.
That's weird because the other cables came like in 2 days.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Is this a conspiracy? Is there a reason you waited until we were recording again to say that?
Not necessarily. Aside? Just, you know, I didn't want to interrupt the flow. But maybe it is a conspiracy theory. Do we want to explore it?
Well, what I want to explore a little bit is that we took a break and then we spent more than usual, like 10, 15 minutes just like shooting the shit and talking about stuff. And then we did our thing where we're like, okay, hit play, like the light's coming on and like now we're
on.
But
like the last thing you said before you started counting was like, I can't wait to hear my voice.
Yeah, people aren't going to know what
it
that is.
It jogs something in
people
my head.
People aren't going to know what that is because we don't record our whole conversations. The problem, and people will now be aware of this, is I can't hear my own voice in my headphones, which is why we're ordering these special cables so that I could do that, which is why I always sound like I'm fucking shouting. Tanner, I would like for you to give us a bit of a scare warning.
Okay. Scare warning. Scare warning. Prepare to piss your pants.
Okay, that's perfect. Because I want people to be ready, because this is scary. A scene we have not described, but that you can imagine.
I may have repressed it, because I can't think of a scene so scary that it would warrant a scare warning.
It's very scary, and we haven't described this scene, but it is very frightening. And it is frightening partially because it demonstrates the depths to which Claudia and Stacy have fallen in terms of their friendship, which is non-existent.
I would say the heights to which Claudia has risen.
Okay, that's
free
fine.
Of the
that's fine. It's cement.
Albatross.
They have gone to see a film that's called Love Locked.
Mm-hmm.
And Claudia and the book opens with this vignette. They've gone to see a film called Love Locked, Claudia and Marianne, which is a
quick vibe check.
Okay.
Romeo plus Juliet.
Yeah, I think it's Romeo plus Juliet.
The Baz Luhrmann film.
Yeah.
And Claudia says it's a retelling of a Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Yep.
And they do cry.
Oh, quick vibe check.
Okay.
10 Things I Hate About You, maybe.
Okay, that is a retelling of Romeo plus Juliet.
No, it's a retelling of Taming of the Shrew.
Oh, it's a retelling of Taming of the Shrew. Yes, you're right. I haven't seen it. It's got...
Dawn.
That guy, Josh Hartnett.
Heath Ledger.
Okay, fine.
And Dawn Schaefer is in it.
Okay. From the movie?
Larissa Olenek, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you for saying that. The scene that I would like to describe is they're going to see this film. We don't know what it is, except that it's called... Heart what is Locked. It? Heart Ten Locked? Things I Hate About You. Love Locked. It's called Love Locked. No, it's not. Your vibe check is wrong because they're on a desert island. They briefly describe the film, and at some point they're on a desert island.
So it's The Tempest.
Castaway?
Did they make a modern retelling of The Tempest?
In 1999?
I don't think so. But I think what Laura is doing is conflating Romeo plus Juliet, 10 Things I Hate About You, but she's like, it's not about Romeo and Juliet. It's not about Taming of the Shrew. It's about The Tempest.
Okay, that's fine. 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 I can't believe you got me off on this tangent. I want to tell you about this film. They go to see it, and Marianne and Claudia go, and there's a burgeoning friendship between Marianne and Claudia. They're both broken people. Claudia has lost her friend, and Laura and Anne do their best to try to make me care that she's lost Jeremy, but Jeremy is nothing. He existed not at all a month ago.
Yeah, and as horny as he does make me,
yeah,
I can't get it up, so to speak.
Okay, that's not even so to speak, like, honestly. You made it sound like you were saying a euphemism, but you just said the quiet part loud.
I can't get it up for him.
Yeah, okay.
Then I mean, I can. He was my hashtag swoon this week, but like...
They go to see a movie, and...
You can't convince me that he's worthwhile.
Guess who's also at the movie? Stacey and Jeremy. And so Claudia spends the whole movie like worrying about the fact that they've showed up together. And then the following thing happens. Tanner. Uh-oh, I dropped the Milk Duds box and it slid under the seat in front of me. A man in the row behind me tapped me on the shoulder and shushed me. I was mortified. If it hadn't been dark in that theater, Marianne would have seen me turn five shades of purple. I'm sorry, I whispered to the man. He grunted back at me. Kids. Just forget about all of it, him included, Marianne said, speaking very quietly. You're going to be able to just watch the movie, aren't you? Suddenly I thought of something worse than the man behind us, Stacy and Jeremy. Did they see us? I whispered. Did Stacy and Jeremy turn around when I dropped the box? I don't think anyone heard it, said Marianne, except Mr. Friendly behind you.
Okay.
Tanner, if it so happened to you that you were in a movie theater and there was a very frightening, scary man who was called the Smiling Man and who we've talked about before.
He was like,
and he's just smiling
to five rows behind
and
you.
And he's got a rictus grin and
smiling at you.
Empty eye sockets.
Sunken eyes. Yeah.
What would you call him if you had to give him a name?
I would call him the Smiling Man.
Well, or Mr. Friendly.
I would call him the Smiling Man because I'm familiar with who he is, but most people might call him Mr. Friendly.
Yeah. And now we've got
and
a name.
And he's back.
And that's what Laura wants us. Laura Dower has finally given him a name.
Laura has reintroduced this.
The Smiling Man, Mr. Friendly. I think he showed up in Dawn's Big Date. Also in a movie scene. She and Lewis go to... I think that's where he first turns up.
No. That's not right because the book cover that he's featured on has all of the members of the BSE on it.
Okay.
And that would be weird if...
I think they all go.
I hate to challenge you on this because I don't want to be that guy. But while I'm looking up the book cover, can I tell you a story about a time that... I got in a confrontation with a man in a movie theater.
The Smiling Man?
He wasn't smiling. No, he seemed pretty upset, actually.
Okay, tell me.
But tell me if I'm the asshole here.
Okay.
I was at a movie
mm-hmm.
that I was very excited about. It was a Star Wars film.
Okay.
And I was with my wife, and it was opening day. And we went to the first showing of the day.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. Here's an interesting turn of events, Jack. I found the book.
Yeah.
Featuring the Smiling Man.
Yeah. Stacy versus the BSC. What the hell? Okay, now can you do me a favor? Oh, holy shit. Is that it? Are you sure? Yeah. It's Stacy versus the BSC. And that's a squeakquel to this.
Look at this.
It's a squeakquel.
Look at this horrible face right behind Jesse's
head. Oh my
God.
Okay. Can you now, and okay, now please do me the fucking favor of looking up Dawn's Big Date.
Okay.
Because I think it's the same movie theater, and I think the same fucking man is in it.
So while I'm looking this up, I'll continue to tell the story. The man next to us in our very expensive seats.
Are there ones that like shake and like pour water
yes.
on you when it's
it was
like,
at that exact
the movie
theater
or whatever? Yeah.
In Union Square. Kept pulling out his phone and looking at it the entire time.
That's annoying.
And it was so annoying. Yeah. And I just wanted to be enraptured by the magic of Star Wars, a film franchise I love.
Yeah, and they've got at least three good movies in that franchise, and three of them are good. And it's actually the first three. And Rogue One.
Episode one, episode two, and episode three.
Yeah.
You also like Solo, I'll remind you.
And Solo. So there's five good movies.
This guy kept pulling out his phone, and eventually I finally mustered the...
God, I can imagine you. Excuse me, sir?
The willpower
yeah.
to lean over and say to him, hey, can you stop pulling out your phone? It's really distracting.
Yeah.
And you know what he said to me?
What did he say to you?
I'm a doctor.
Okay.
And that was it.
Did you say what you were? Because that's the only response to that. I'm a content professional.
No, what I did was just say like, I think what I said was like, I don't care.
That's
and like,
good.
Turn back to the screen.
Yeah, that's good.
But it was just like,
that's nothing. You can't look at your phone.
So what? I don't come to the fucking movie then. I don't. What do you want me to say? Like,
yeah.
Don't interrupt the movie, guy. I appreciate that you're a doctor, and God bless you for, like...
It's like if someone was sitting in the seat next to you and they were, like, performing open heart surgery on a patient, and you were like, excuse me, what are you doing? And they're like, I'm a doctor. You'd be like, yeah, that's fine, but do it somewhere else.
Like...
Yeah. We sound like old cantankerous men. I bet there are a bunch of doctors listening to this who are like, that's the only fucking opportunity I have to get away from my fucking nightmare life.
I get it. I get that you're a doctor, and I appreciate that, but it's like, it is the same theater. Jesus Christ, Jack.
Isn't that scary?
There's nothing.
No. No, no, no.
There's no smiling,
no, no.
Man.
Tanner's showing me Dawn's Big Date. Fucking scroll in. Look deep back behind them. It's the same fucking movie theater, and I swear to God there's a
oh
fucking
my God.
Smiling man. We'll post it in the Facebook group. Yeah, Tanner.
Check, he's there.
Every time they go to a movie theater, Mr. Friendly is there, and then fucking Laura described it in this book. It's in Dawn's
like,
Big Date, Stacy versus
check.
The BSC. Yeah.
Literal chills.
Yeah.
Just went up and down my body when I saw this man in the background. I'm so frightened of the smiling man.
Okay, so there are two covers of Babysitter's Club books that we know of that are the cover of the book is the some members of the Babysitter's Club are in a movie theater. One of those books is Stacy versus the BSC. One of those books is Dawn's Big Date. In both of those covers, if you zoom in a couple of rows behind the babysitters is a rictus grin smiling man with no eyeballs. In both of those covers, and then
so
I have just read to you a description of that. Mr. Fucking Friendly taps him on the shoulder. That's scary.
So scary.
That is fucking scary. And you know what? If you want to sue us, you can't because we did a scare warning.
Yeah.
So good luck. Good luck. See you in court. See you in court.
Your pants. We warn you about that
yeah.
too.
See you in court.
And I almost do. It and really I, did like yeah. shake me to my core.
Yeah. That's scary. You want to hear something else scary?
Okay.
This is the conversation I previously mentioned where, like, I don't know what Jeremy's doing, but he's, like, flirting with Claudia behind Stacey's
yeah,
back.
That's weird.
And he,
I
like,
really
broke the, up their friendship, and he knows that's the case because Stacey's always talking about it. Fuck this creep. Okay. Here's the conversation that he has with her.
You got to cool down.
I know. I got a little bit overheated. So how's school going for you anyway? He continued. You seem so busy. Okay, that was a question I could deal with. My heart was thumping.
Real quick?
Little... Yeah.
Sex here?
Okay, yeah, you're right. Good note. Thank you. So, how's school going for you anyway? He continued. You seem so busy. Okay, that was a question I could deal with. My heart was thumping a little more quietly now. Art class? Super. The best. Yeah? Yeah. You know, art. My whole reason for living? The thing that makes me happier than anything else in the entire world? Whoa. Yeah. Art. I forgot. He forgot? Well, anyway, we're in the middle of making these collages in class, and I decided I didn't want mine to be flat like everyone else's, so I made a papier, how do you say it, paper mache sculpture.
No, say it your way.
I can't help it when I see the French, you know?
Papier mache.
I made a paper mache sculpture. Okay, don't make me laugh because I'm going to have to do a sexy voice now. That's different. Yes, well, I like to be different. Anyway, it's a giant cat, and everything I pasted on it has to do with cats. Tanner.
Immediate reaction?
Immediate reaction. That's what I want from you. What's the reaction on the ground?
Little on the nose.
Okay.
What I assume you're going to say.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, is that this is a clear reflection of Claudia's being influenced by the cat people faction.
Yes. What I was going to say is that Claudia is so desperate and she has fallen on such desperate times that in order to combat her grief and her loss, she is trying to build a cat person. And that's how you do it.
If you want to summon them to vanquish your enemies or destroy Stacy or Jeremy, the Fame Wolf.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You would bring the cat people.
That's how I would do it.
Yeah.
Build a monument to them.
She's trying to summon the cat people to destroy the Fame Wolf. And if you're just joining us, that's it. That's it. We could have just said that at the beginning.
And we did say it. Yeah. Jack.
Yeah.
I arrived a little late.
Okay.
And Erica was perched on a bench waiting.
Okay.
She grinned when she saw me and my sweater and my hairdo. Claudia Lynn Kishi, the fashion queen. Mm-hmm. Hello, I said, laughing, and pulled her off the bench. We had things to do, people to see, places to go. First stop, Flashbox.
Flashbox.
Official home of punk clothes and trendy things. It sounds a little out there, but it isn't at all. Jack?
Yeah.
And I guess Laura?
Yeah.
What happened to Zingies?
What happened to Zingies? That's such a good point.
What did you do with Zingies and what is Flashbox?
And why did Laura replace Zingies with Flashbox?
Because from your description, Laura, it sounds like what you're describing is Zingies.
Zingies. That, to me, is the official home of punk trends.
But you've got this new store at Washington Mall called Flashbox.
And it's called Flashbox.
And what is that?
Okay, Laura.
What is Laura, I love you and I love what you're doing with the book and I love the direction you're taking it in and excuse my co-host for saying I love you in such a creepy way.
That's okay, it's just a ghost.
I don't appreciate you meddling with the lore, the established lore. And if I hate to accuse you of not doing your research, but actually there already is a punk theme store at
and it's Zingies.
Washington Mall, and it's called Zingies.
Yeah, and, I think and it's beloved, and there's no way it would have gone out of business. It just doesn't make sense that it would have gone out of business within the year. Everyone loves it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know everything changes, and maybe everything changes means that like Zingies close and Flashbox open, but like I don't accept that.
I think that Anne and Keen went to Laura and they were like, hey, we need a ghost to write this book. First of all, they were like, we need a ghost to do this. And then they were like, and you know what? Everything changes. So you can fucking destroy anything you want. What's the biggest thing in the Babysitter's Club? And Laura's like, oh, the friendship between Stacy and Claudia. And they're like, fucking close. Knock it down. You're the demolition man. Just fucking destroy it.
They're like, close and do that too. But
yeah.
And then what's the actual thing in the biggest thing in the Babysitter's Zingies. Club universe? Zingies.
Zingies. And she's like, I'm going to knock that down too. They fucking paved Zingies and they put up a Flashbox.
God, don't it always seem to go?
Yeah. Wow.
Don't know what you got till it's gone and it's Zingies.
Should we do our burns?
Yes.
Do we do it the normal way?
Your Honor.
No, fuck you.
Hey, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get you high. What do you say?
Nah, man, I don't smoke weed. I smoke clowns like you on a b-ball court.
People, jurors, gathered here today. God, it's so hard to get through this without tearing up because the crime that was committed today was so heinous, and it was committed by Baby Nation.
That's what makes it so difficult.
And that's what makes it so difficult because I've loved them for so long.
Yeah.
And I've kissed them for so long.
Yeah, and I kissed them for so long, and it's part of it. When you love someone for a long time, you will also kiss them for a long time.
But I feel so betrayed now.
Yeah.
Because they committed a crime so heinous against an innocent sweet porpoise.
Yeah. Your Honor, what are all... Can we have these baby porpoises that are wailing removed from the courtroom? Because it's very difficult to hear over the racket.
Oh, God. And it's not just a crime against the porpoise.
Yeah.
And it is a crime against the porpoise, don't get me wrong. It's a crime against Jack, who has to do all this post-production work.
Right at the end of the fucking episode, too.
Adding in so many porpoise screams. I just feel... so bad for him, and he tried to shoo me off of it, but here we are. And Your Honor, I think we should throw the book at Baby Nation for killing this labious porpoise.
Yeah,
our beloved character who we developed for the super specials to introduce the burn of the week. Yep. Each week,
and he lives on in our hearts.
He lives on in our hearts and on our souls and in our memories, and yep, it's our burn of the week, Jack.
Okay, can I read a burn, please, for you?
Yes.
You're going to like this one. Ready?
Yes.
The burn is by Laura Dower.
Yeah, well, they all are. Assuming.
This one is very pointedly by
Presumably, her. They would all be by Laura Dower.
Ready?
Right?
Or... here it goes.
Yeah.
It's short. Mal says hello. Christy had just called the Monday meeting of the Babysitters Club to order. The Babysitters Club, or BSC, is a business we run. Parents call one number and have four sitters ready to go. And it's a burn on every ghostwriter who has ever written a chapter two that took 10 fucking pages to say that same thing.
Yeah, they were just trying to hit that word.
That's how you do it, Pete. That's how you do it, Suzanne.
It's an efficiency of language, Pete.
She did it in two sentences. The Babysitters Club, or BSC, is a business we run. Parents call one number and have four sitters ready to go. It blew my fucking mind because I didn't know. Before this, I didn't know you could do it in two sentences.
Yeah.
I thought you had to fucking tell the story about fucking David Michael falling off a goddamn swing.
Scientists have puzzled this out for ages.
Yeah.
But Laura Dower nailed it in two sentences. And it's that kind of innovation that's really going to, like...
it's going to change the babysitting game forever.
Take this book series to the next level.
Yeah.
I'm just... my one worry is that we don't have enough books left to really...
God, I hope we see more of Laura Dower, because I really like...
May I read mine?
Yeah, please.
It's Claudia.
Okay.
Speaking to Erica.
Okay.
I trusted her. I asked her if she had any secrets to share, too. It was like we were playing truth or dare without the dare. Oh, Claudia is talking about how much she loves him as a Stacy.
Yeah.
Unimportant.
Except that it's like a problem between them because she spent so much time talking about Stacy that Erica thinks that Claudia doesn't want to be her friend anymore. But they are better friends than Stacy and Claudia ever could have been in the first place. And I can't even remember Stacy.
It was, and she's an effervescent win. It was like we were playing truth or dare without the dare. She thought for a moment, then nodded. But it isn't really a secret. I was adopted. Really? Erica was taken aback by my reaction. You say that like I have some kind of disease or something. Oh, no, I recovered quickly. What I meant is, well, if you knew me better, see, I had this adoption thing a little while ago. I thought that maybe I was adopted, and I thought about it all the time. I didn't mean anything bad by what I said. Were you adopted? No, but I imagined it for 2 weeks. It's just that I don't look like my sister or anyone else in my family. Well, I don't look like anyone in my family either, and I'm grateful because my brother is a little troll.
Wow, that was a long walk, but a good finish. It's a burn on Erica Blumberg's unnamed brother.
Unnamed brother, yeah. He's only described like 3 times in this book, and every time he's described as a troll.
As a troll. And it is.
Maybe it's a troll.
And I think he's a troll, and we're introducing a new faction, and it's the trolls.
Is Erica maybe problematic because she's kind of got this pretty like noticeable anti-troll bent?
Well, trolls might be bad.
Okay. Now we're in like fucking Tolkien territory where it's like, are orcs inherently bad?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't want to get into
that. And what are we saying
right
about
now,
like
right at the end? Are they inherently bad? And if they are inherently bad, then and they don't have free will, can we possibly judge them? And that's a philosophical question.
So difficult. It's so difficult.
And we definitely don't have time to get into it. We really don't. And we shouldn't. And I will also say that for folks who are trying to read this in the glaive order, Claudia and the Great Search, which is a novel where Claudia tries to discover whether she's adopted by looking into her family history, is obviously a sequel to this novel, and it's one of the arms of the glaive. We'll obviously map this all out.
Right. And then the other arms of the glaive are obviously Stacey versus the BSC because of the Smiling Man connection. And
as you know from this passage, I sunk back into my seat. Giving thanks was the last thing I felt like doing. As a matter of fact, this was going to be the worst Thanksgiving ever. Claudia and the first Thanksgiving is a squeakquel to this novel, so that's one of them.
Yep.
We'll let you figure out the rest. It shouldn't be too hard. What did we say? There's probably 4 to 5
tines.
Squeakquels or tines. Each book, we'll map it out, guys.
It's all going to make itself very obvious in time.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was thinking that maybe we should go and leave.
I would love that. You know who else would love that? My wife, who's waiting to go to bed.
Oh, and she can't because you're in the bedroom.
Yep,
that's so sad. Tanner, what I would like to do is go and also to leave.
Okay.
And what I would like to do before I do that, as is traditional, is to thank you so very much for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
And I would like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us.
You're welcome.
And particularly Tanner.
That was them.
And I would don't put words in their mouth. And what I would like to say is that I love you and I kiss you so very much every day and all the time. And what I would also like to say is please subscribe to our Patreon. It's how you can support this show, and it's a good other show. And so everybody wins, and it's only $5 a month, and you can find it at patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. That's all I have to say on the topic.
Okay.
Please join the Baby Nation Facebook group. Everyone's having a nice time in there. Please rate and review our show on iTunes, and please buy our merch. It's bit.ly/BSCCmerch. We've got lots of shirts and a tote and stickers and other stuff, and it's another good way to support our show and keep us doing it. This week we read a novel that was called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever #4, Claudia and the Friendship Feud. Next week we're going to be reading a little book called Baby Skittles. Babysitter's Club Friends Forever #5, Christy Power. Fuck yes, that sounds awesome.
Yes.
And if we can have my favorite Babysitter's Club ghostwriter, actual ghost, Laura Dower, writing it, that would be perfect.
She's your new favorite?
Yeah.
Because she's a ghost.
Yeah, and Pete was short with us one time.
Oh, yes. I think he got annoyed with us.
Or else he felt compelled to respond to something we sent him at 2 in the morning.
Well, we sent it to him at 9:30 in the evening, and he responded to it at 2 in the morning.
He like woke up in a cold sweat, like, God, I hope they're gone, and like checked his Twitter, and he's like, no. Pete's my second favorite.
After Laura Dower. But Laura is an automatic shoe-in because she's a ghost.
She's so good, and
she's
love
a ghost writer.
Yeah, she's a ghost writer. Oh, I'm real, and now I'm putting that together, and that's clever.
Okay.
What I would like to say to you is that my name has been and always will be and is currently, and it's the name that my parents gave me, and it is a name that I cherish, and it is a name that anyone in my life will speak when they want to address me and they want
It's the guy from Lost.
And when I become a ghost, if you want to summon me, you will say this name, and it is Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaneys. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
86 and a fart to throw the first book of what became a coach. Now it's time for Baby Sinner's Love. Club.
I'm realizing now that our intro was a little meandery and long-winded. And you didn't get a chance to do the epithets, and I'm wondering if you wanted to.
I deliberately skipped them, and it's Anne Francisco, and it's Ethan and M. Martin, and there was another one last week that I also
probably. And we'll do one this week, too.
And I deliberately skipped it, and I was hoping you'd forget about it.
Last week it was Logan and Mary Ann.
You've been writing it down, so there's something deeply twisted. That, like, for the first time in the history of this podcast, you took a fucking note. And it was to make sure I didn't forget this. And it's Logan. Marianne's ex-boyfriend, Logan. And this is your thing. So if you want one for this one, say it now.
Yeah, and I'm going to. And then don't fucking rush me because I'm crafting something here. Laura Ann Dower. And Martin.
Perfect.
Who's that guy?
That was a HeadGum podcast.